This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, January 18th, 2026. The Heart of Worship, Presence.
The heart of worship is presence. Presence. That is such a powerful word. Think about that with me. What do you think of? What stirs within you when you hear the word presence? When you pull on that thread, you follow its course, you find that it leads right to our heart of hearts, to the core. Our core longings, hopes, and fears have to do with presence. Think about the people you treasure most, the people you love most. Isn't that what you want more than anything with them? Presence, to be with them. I mean, you probably have goals and plans, and they might have different roles in your life, but at the end of the day, more than anything, you just want to be with them. Your spouse, your child, your parent, your friend. Presence. When they're away from you, when you're separated, your heart longs for them, doesn't it? When you face a crisis, what's one of the first things you do? You reach for that person. You reach for those people. You want to call them. You want to hear their voice. You want them to be near you. Even if there's nothing they can do in that situation, you just want their presence. You know what I'm talking about? Presence can also make us think of the experience of absence. When you lose someone you love, that ache, that longing is so deep. Or maybe when you were growing up, there was somebody who should have been present, but they weren't. Or they were physically present, but absent in every other way. You know, those wounds mark us so deeply. Many people fear being alone, even more than they fear death. Even in healthy relationships, in this age of distraction, we struggle, don't we, to be present with the people we love most. Presence. Bottom line, the greatest gifts and joys in life have to do with presence. The greatest pains and hardships have to do with presence. So many of our greatest hopes and fears have to do with presence. It is such a powerful thing. So it's no wonder that presence is a key theme in Scripture. You know that? You can find that thread and you can trace it from start to finish, Genesis to Revelation, in God's great redemption story. All about presence. Think about the different things that you felt and thought just now as we talked about presence, and now consider this breathtaking truth. The God who created you desires all of this for you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to be with him. God wants you to seek and long for his presence the same way you do for the people you love. He made you for this. He made you for a relationship, above all with himself. Last week we talked about God's holiness. The heart of worship is holiness, and how God is set apart. He's high and exalted. He's mind-blowingly awesome. And now think about this, that same God, that high and holy God who Isaiah, when he saw him in his throne room, was undone. That God actually wants to be near you and me in a relationship as close as you can imagine. Isn't that wild? The Bible is the story of how we turned away and ran from his presence, but God paid the highest cost and accomplished everything needed so that we could be with him again. He's so far above and beyond us, and yet he's so willing to come to our level and be near us. That brings us to our main scripture today, Psalm 27. You know, we were created to enjoy the presence of God, but, you know, life in this fallen world is just full of obstacles, distractions and battles that try to keep us from that, right? King David, who Psalm 27 is attributed to, he was somebody who knew both those realities. He knew the presence of God and he knew the battles of life. You see that so clearly as you read the Psalms. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Have you heard that before? It says King David was a man after God's own heart. He was also a very flawed and troubled man. The Bible's very clear and honest about that. David saw many victories by God's grace, and he also endured defeats and massive failures. Read about it in 1 and 2 Samuel. Psalm 27, it is a wonderful window into what it means to endure desperate battles and to seek God's presence in the midst of it all. That's kind of what the journey of life holds for us. So let's read this. And I think it'd be cool today if we just read it out loud together. This is the Psalms are meant to be prayers and songs of worship. So why don't we read it out loud together? This is the Word of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. When battles come, when crisis hits, when struggles come, what do you run to? Who do you run to? What do? David says, the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. He is my source of life. He is my rescuer. My connection to him is what truly stabilizes my life, he's saying. And then he says this, though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. You know what a vivid image that is? Like, imagine being trapped in a city under siege. This was a lot of times what warfare involved in the ancient world. And cities would have big walls around them. It would be a fortress because you might have an enemy come and surround that city to kind of trap you in it and try to kind of wait you out. Terrifying thing. And that's such a vivid image because while that's not, you know, our historical reality today, how often does life feel like that? Have you been through a situation or a season where it kind of feels like you're just surrounded on all sides? Like it's just every dimension of life, one thing after another. Have you ever been through this? Where it's just like you, everywhere you look, you're surrounded by enemies and troubles. It's like everything is just going wrong. You know what I'm saying? But David says, even when I'm in a situation like that, even when I look around me and it's like everywhere I look, there's something wrong. And I feel like I'm just surrounded and oppressed by enemies everywhere. Even then, he says, my heart will not fear. I remain confident. Why? How? How do you do that, David? Tell me how'd you get there, man? Help me figure that out. Well, because he knows the presence of God. He abides in the presence of God. God's presence, when you come to know him, you realize it is a shelter that no enemy can conquer, that will never end, that will never run out. He says, I know the Lord. I know who he is. I know the everlasting God. I know that I am his and he is mine. Therefore, I can be confident and content even when battles come. And I don't know how I'm going to get through it, but I'm with him and he's with me and he is actually the real fortress. So long as I'm in him, nothing can truly harm me. Even if the worst should happen, I know how the story ends. I remain confident. What did it take in David's life? Like, what kind of lifestyle did he have? What kind of journey did he have in his walk with the Lord that he could come to the place where he could say that confidently? Well, listen to the next verse. This is kind of the secret. He says, let's read this part together. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Once you discover the glory of who God is, the beauty of his presence, you realize that not only is there no one like him, but there's nothing better than him. It's just true. There's nothing better than the Lord. Now, you're probably like me. Sometimes I tell myself that, but I have to wait for my heart to catch up. I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I know it's true. I've seen it before. I'm struggling to believe it right now, but I know it. I'm going to say it to myself and let my heart catch up. There is nothing better than you, God. One thing I seek. You know, he created everything. All good things. What does James say? James says he's the father of heavenly lights from whom all blessings flow. All the things that you love, all the people that you love, God is the source. What are the things you love most in life? I love my wife. I love my kids. I love my family. I love coffee. I love soccer, great books, music, skateboarding. I love the sound of water. I love the sight of mountains. Who invented all those things and made them possible? Whose idea was it all? So how much greater must he be if all this was his idea? It's like, do you love and delight in your kids, your loved ones? Do you love and delight in the gifts of life? Then how much more can we love and delight in the presence of the one who created them and gave them to us? One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, his presence. I want one thing, David says, I want to be with him. Final section says this. Let's read it together one last time. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. This is where it gets really cool, and I want to show you a few things about this that are so powerful in Scripture. First of all, he referenced in the beginning that dwelling place with God. Scripture talks throughout about God's dwelling place, and it can also be translated the secret place. You ever heard that expression, the secret place, or even the hiding place? I quoted Corrie ten Boom a few weeks ago. She wrote that book called The Hiding Place, the memoir of her life, and she was referencing this concept, the hiding place, the dwelling place, the secret place where we can be with God. Psalm 119 says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. Psalm 32 says, you, Lord, are my hiding place. You shall preserve me from trouble. You shall surround me with songs of deliverance. The hiding place, the secret place. Where is that? How do I find it? Well, it's God himself. It's his presence. You are my hiding place. Anywhere where I get to be with you and focus on you and you alone, that is the secret place. It's like I get to enter into the Holy of Holies just with him, you know? It's finding such deep communion with God that we can rest in the refuge of his presence. The everlasting God. And this passage ends by saying, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. What a profound thought. The face of God. Wow. The Hebrew word for that is panim. And it's used lots of different times in the Old Testament in lots of different ways. It can mean like the literal surface of something, like the surface of the waters or something. And it can mean the face of a person. It can even mean, like in this case, the personal presence and nearness of God himself. He is such a personal God. Here's some examples. Psalm 16, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Your presence, panim, your face. Psalm 139, I love this psalm. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence, face of God? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. And here's one that you've probably heard many times. Number 6, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Like, that's the highest picture of blessing, is when you know the face of God, the personal presence of God shining on you like a father, a mother, like the parent who just loves and delights in them. The face of God shine upon you is the greatest blessing you could have. Now check this out. It shows up all throughout the Bible. Like we said, the presence of God, the face of God is this thread. You can trace through the whole story to seek his face, to know him, to be with him. Look at this. In the beginning, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, he created this place, almost like a temple, this garden where they could dwell with him and be in his presence freely, right? Walk with him in the cool of the day, it talks about in Genesis. But when they disobeyed that one command in the garden and sin broke the world, listen to this. Genesis 3:8, the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, the face of God. They hid themselves from his presence after that. Later in Genesis, that story when Jacob, the patriarch, wrestles with the Lord all through the night, such a mysterious story, wrestles with God, wrestles with the angel of the Lord all through the night. And then it says, Jacob called that place Peniel, from the word Penim, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, yet my life was spared. Moses, Exodus 33, God's presence is leading the people through the wilderness with the tabernacle. And it says, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. What a God we serve. Later, when the tabernacle, kind of the mobile temple, became the temple, Solomon built the temple and it was stationary. And it was this place that God's people could come and seek his presence. The Lord said about this place in 2 Chronicles, I bet you know this scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And it keeps going. You fast forward, and when the word became flesh and God himself tabernacled among us, that's what the word says. The apostle said, for God who said, let the light shine in the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. Folks, the whole Bible is a narrative of God coming to dwell among his people after we rejected him, and him taking the initiative to bring about reconciliation. And as you follow the story, it's amazing from start to finish. You see God move closer and closer and closer, as close as he possibly can. He wants to be with us from the garden to the tabernacle to the temple to the word became flesh, the incarnation, even further when we become the temple. Pentecost. New Testament says, now you are the temple of God. His presence isn't just with you, it's in you. You can't get any closer than that. That's his heart for us. That's what he made us for, his presence. That's why we gather, his presence. That's why we go to the secret place, his presence. It's just a relationship with God. That's what we're talking about when we share our vision, you know, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers. It's about his presence, knowing God. There's that classic praise song. I really love it. Shane and Shane redid it. You can go look it up on YouTube. Remember that one that goes, knowing you, Jesus. It's a throwback. Knowing you, there is no greater thing. You ever hear it? You're my all. You're the best. You're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. the whole story culminates when the Lord returns and heaven comes to earth and all things are made new. That's what it says at the end of the Bible, the last chapters of Revelation. It says, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. He will wipe every tear. They will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. The heart of worship is the presence of God. Seek his face. A lot of the problems we have, a lot of the hurts, hang-ups, and I forget what the other one is, a lot of that stuff, a lot of that garbage we deal with, like a lot of it comes back to just kind of being like, I don't believe that I'm worthy to be loved like that. I don't believe anybody could want me like that. Can't fathom anybody would want to be close to me, the real me, you know? And God is like, I've dealt with all of that. I've took care of all of it. Now we just get to be together. I've taken care of your sin. It's as far as the east is from the west. I took that punishment on myself for you, and now we just get to be together. Maybe you've never experienced that kind of love and acceptance from another person in your life. Maybe you don't know a lot of what that's to feel safe in someone's presence. And I just want to tell you that the good news of Jesus is that there's a God who pursues you, who wants a relationship with you, who took care of all the garbage, all the consequences, all of our sin and brokenness, so we could know perfect, holy love. Know his presence. So will you, here in this life, as you're preparing for eternity, will you seek him today? Will you spend time in the secret place seeking his face? Will you accept that invitation to know God, to know and be known, to have communion with him, fellowship with him? When we come together, we're coming to seek his face. When we go into the secret place, we're going to seek his face. We just have to seek. We just have to seek him. You know, he's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. He's given us prayer. He's given us fellowship with his people. We just have to seek. Sometimes you got to be willing to dig, to knock, to cry out until you find what you're looking for. But if you seek, you will find. He promises. So many times in my life, the solution to whatever I'm dealing with is like, seek his presence. And for whatever reason, I just don't do it, you know, until it's real bad. You know, that check engine light keeps flashing and I just wait until it's broken down. Like, change the oil, change the oil, change the oil. You got a flat tire. It's like, but the answer is just there. Well, you just seek his presence and you're going to find the answers. He promised, seek and you will find. So I just encourage you this week, if you're kind of like, okay, it sounds good, but how? What do I do? Some people, it just seems to come so effortlessly for, and some people, I just have trouble, you know, getting rid of the distractions and becoming aware of his presence. I would just encourage you with this simple step. Sometime this week, go and find a secret place. Like, I don't care if it's a sanctuary or a coat closet, or your car, the bathroom, like some people, like the only privacy you can have is there, right? Let's be real. I don't know if your house is like mine. Maybe not. Maybe TMI, but I'm just saying, there's not a lot of secret places there, okay? But like, I don't care where it is. Get in there for 10 minutes and then just do what Psalm 46:10 says. It just says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Just sit with that. Sit with him, and the rest will flow from there. Go to the secret place. Push through, like, the resistance. It may feel hard, awkward. It may take a little while for the dust to settle. But just go to the secret place, be with him, be still and know that he is God, and everything else is going to flow from there. If you can discover the secret of the secret place in your life like David did, all the other things flow from there. You will learn how to hear from God. You will learn how to obey God. You will learn how to follow his will. You will learn how to hide his word in your heart. But just be with him. Be with him. And he's going to keep leading you. Today, we come to worship to seek his face. We get to do that. And so I think it would be so good for us just to take a moment. Let him lead us. Let him set the agenda. Turn your heart towards him and listen. Just let him do what he wants to do in your life today. Pray with me. Sometimes it helps me to take a deep breath. We want to know you, Lord. We want to see your face. We want you to become the greatest treasure, the greatest desire in our lives. We want to love you and seek you the way we do for the people, the things we love most, Lord. You're worthy of it all. You are the greatest. We need you, and all we need is you. So we pray here in this room, Lord. We already have declared the King is in the room. We know. It's not an issue of whether you're here or not. It's whether we're here. Find us. Find us wherever we've wandered and gotten away. And knock on that door, Lord, and knock so loud that we just have to wake up and open and let you in today, Lord God. People in this room, we've kind of had that door shut, and we know you're there, but maybe we haven't been able to figure out how to let you in. God, today let it be a day where we open the door, let you in, and you come in, Lord Jesus. Because when you are in the room, there is healing, there is provision, there is restoration, salvation, wisdom, everything we could need and hope for, it's there with you. Lord, I pray you would move through this room and move in our hearts and lives. We could know your presence, the face of God shining upon us. That's the answer. Oh, we could know how to let you love us. When we sometimes don't know how to love ourselves, we want to know you, Lord. And so this morning, we surrender all.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.